presence of our pastor this morning, I've got bad news and good news. The bad news is I'm no preacher. But here we are. And the good news is I'm no preacher. So when I'm finished, I'll quit. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help us now to know that we're gathered together to worship you and to learn to serve you and to take your word with us in our hearts and to know that you are Lord wherever we go. We do ask that you would just help us now, Lord, to yield to you and to hear you and to know that you are God. These things we pray in Jesus' name. So if you would care to, please turn to Romans 8, 12 through 17. Find Romans 8, 12 through 17, 9 through 17, excuse me. 9 through 17. It's going to be about the same place. And take a moment to look at it, if you will. Typically, I would read the scripture lesson right now, right? But my plan is, as we go through what I have to share with you, I'm going to read each verse as we come to it. So you're going to get a chance to share it that way. I'll go through them verse by verse in order and attempt to point out what drew my attention to this passage that I chose. Actually, we were afraid that Nathan wouldn't be here the first day of the month as their child was in trouble with health and at the hospital. And I thought, I better have something ready. And it turned out he went right ahead as usual. So, lo and behold, the end of the month, he's not here. So I'll share with you what I had then, I guess. The deacons already had to listen to me, and they said, it's all right, you can share it. As we look at Romans 8, 9, it says, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So, as you look at that verse, can you take control of your sinful nature? Can you? My answer would be no. But the Spirit can. You have a sinful nature. In verse 9, if you notice, speaks of the Spirit, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ. The Trinity is spelled out right here in this verse. Looking further at verse 10, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So are you put off when Paul says, with Christ in you, your body is dead? If you are, then read on. Now, a fourth spirit is drawn out here in this verse. Your spirit. And in such great company. Verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. So, if so much of the world could not accept that Christ was raised from the dead, they'll not choose to live by the faith brought out here. Typically, when speaking of something living within us, we think of things like malignancy or parasites and so forth. But look, do you have extra spatial life in your mortal body? His Spirit lives in you. Verse 12, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. Now, can you choose to accept or reject something that's called an obligation? By the very nature of obligations, the answer, I think, has to be yes. So let's look into the obligation. In verse 13, "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." So the consequences are made very clear. So make your choice both carefully and well informed. If you feel challenged to keep living by the Spirit, where can you find the power to get it done? Do you remember the hymn, "There's Power in the Blood"? Would you be free from your burden of sin? Would you over evil a victory win? There's power in the blood. Earlier in the chapter in Romans 8:2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Look with me at verse 14. "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." How rare is it to be obligated with a reward such as this? Sons of God. That puts you in really, really great company. Verse 15, "For if you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." Now, rehearse again in your thoughts the idea of God's grace. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It's a bit like the Spirit saying, "Stand here by me. You're in the right place. What a wonderful witness you have to testify on your behalf." Verse 17. "Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Now, I'll reveal to you that this particular verse and what it contains is what drew me to this selection. Something about my thinking said, joint heirs with Christ needs more attention than I've been giving it. So don't let these words just roll off your tongue as another familiar sound. To be joint heirs of God with Christ cannot be measured in acres, buildings, businesses, cars, nor any other fine things. Surely, they pale by comparison. If you're hooked on material things, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, just for starters. But recall that verse 11. He is the one who will give life to your mortal body. Your standing becomes no less than a co-heir with Christ. Now go back to that obligation. You may choose to accept that obligation or not. So choose thoughtfully and carefully. Does it say, "If indeed we share in his suffering"? Paul speaks outright about this suffering in verse 18, where it says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." So we're not just riding on a breeze. We have responsibilities, obligations. We have choices. But do you want to be a joint heir with Christ? Does that really appeal to you? John and James questioned Jesus concerning being in a place of honor with him in heaven, and they received no such confirmation. But when the great gathering in heaven takes place, will you be right there in their midst, a true saint, because you choose to shed your worldly ways and yield to the Spirit of God, who will put to death the misdeeds of your body? Let our labors not be then in vain. If the Spirit of God is living in you and giving life to your mortal bodies, don't wear it as a parasite or a tumor, but share in his sufferings. Be a witness. Be a disciple, so that you may share in his glory, a joint heir with Christ. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being here with us, for giving us a message, for bringing us together that we might worship together. We might be in the presence of your Holy Spirit together and know that you talk to us, you speak to us, you have a life for us and a reward beyond all rewards in your heaven above. Guide us now, we pray, as we worship and be with our number and those that are not able to be with us this morning. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.